The Lord Jesus is not advising folks against frugalness or against being conservative or against even saving. But He's teaching here in this chapter priorities. Amen. For where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. Whatever we put value upon, our heart will shortly follow. And so He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, but lay it up on heaven, in heaven. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Real familiar verse. Verse 29, He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank God. Wait upon the Lord. Amen. Lord helping us, I'd like to preach on the wealth is in the wait. The wealth is in the wait. Somebody asked Bill Gates, the CEO of Microsoft, probably, if not the richest man in the world, at least probably in the top three, how his lifestyle fit with church and religion. And he said, well, in my world and in my lifestyle and in my schedule, it's not very efficient. But one day, Mr. Gates will die, and we'll go to meet a God who will judge him. And whether he is wealthy here on earth, and whether he has the respect that he has here on earth, won't matter a bit in heaven. Amen. All that will matter in heaven is where his priorities was while he was on the earth. And evidently right now, according to his own mouth, his priority and his schedule won't allow for God. His schedule is just concerned about riches. And so the Lord tells us, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust corrupts and where time and interest decays, but lay up for yourself some treasures in heaven where men can't get to or moth or rust can't touch. Amen. He's trying to tell us the importance of having your priorities straight and doing what is most important. And I realize it's important to save. And the older I get, the more I realize that. But it's an important thing. But it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we know Him and that we recognize His presence and that we put value upon His presence. Amen. And that we lay treasure up in heaven. I was putting off doing something I had wanted to do for a long time, a couple of years actually, 3 or 4 years, just put it off and put it off and procrastinated until I got a call from Shannon Phillips and said that Steve was in the hospital. I didn't know it, didn't have any idea. And she realized that we didn't know it after talking with us. And because of being shaken in that regards, I decided, hey, I'm going to do what I've been putting off doing for this many years. Tomorrow, I am going down and purchase some life insurance. It may seem silly to you, but I thought if something were to happen to me, as unexpected as maybe what had happened to Brother Phillips or many other preachers or people, I would like for things to be a little better for my family than what they are now. And so I went down and talked to a fellow about some life insurance and got the cheapest possible I could for as many years as I could. And they sent the people out to give me an examination and draw some blood. Everything turned out fine. And so I had to go back in and sign on the dotted line and write the man the check. And while I was there, he said, well, Jim, I'm glad you did this. I think it's wise. Of course, he thought it was wise because he's getting commission on it. But he said, that's a wise thing for you to do. You know, you're 37 years old. But let's talk a little bit about some investments now. How are you in the line of certificates of deposit or IRAs or maybe some stocks? How's your portfolio stand in that regard? And I stood there with my mouth open and I felt about as low that they could have slid me under the doorstop because I didn't have too much that this world could brag about as saying that this man has really been doing his part of investing. And I know it's an important thing. I realize that. And I began to explain to Mr. Christie that there's some things, that some decisions that I have made concerning my... I realize, mister, that that's an important thing, and I want to do better. But it didn't stop me from feeling really low that day. And I said, but the decision that I have made as a minister and having the call of God on my life has caused me to make some decisions that may not, you may not understand this, but I have chosen to be in the position that I am today. There's some things that I could do with my hands, and God has gifted me in some ways, and I don't say that boastfully, but there are some things that I could do, sir, that could earn me a real respectable income if I chose to focus all of my time and attention in doing that and achieving those things. But there's a greater priority. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Focus your priority on something more than just accumulating, more than just buying things that we don't need to impress people we do not like with money we don't have. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Thank God. Well, I left there, I was pretty down. I wasn't as quite as excited as I am right now. I left there, you know, in deep contemplation for the rest of the day. And I wondering what I could do to make things better and be a better steward and do things better and be a little wiser. And the Lord spoke to me this scripture. And it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich. Hey, these preachers, they dress in thrift store clothes, and sometimes they don't look as prime and as polished as maybe the folks do down at the office. But they do this for a choice, because they have realized the value and the wealth of winning a soul. They realize the value and the wealth and the great treasure that God has laid upon them to reach your family and your friends and your loved ones. Hey, there's more important things in this world than wearing the best shoes and wearing a $600 suit. I mean, you may look important in front of your friends, but there is a greater value in laying up treasures where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Thank God. Things are more important. Things are more important. Amen. And it's the church's responsibility to take care of those who are taking care of us. And it always has been. And we won't be able to get out of that. And we shouldn't want to get out of that. Barna Research Institute says this. Barna has an organization that researches everything to do with church and church government and anything to do with the church. You can pick up one of his books or call his organization. He'll tell you statistics about any place. When we were looking into going west, we found some folks that knew a little bit about Barna and about some of the things he wrote. And so we began to inquire of that. But he wrote, according to pastors, he said, the average pastor in the United States of America draws a regular income of $14 per day. Wow! Take that, Mr. Christie, and invest it. Hey, what about that? $14 per day for your average pastor. Now, we know that when you get an average, you've got to take a high salary and you've got to take a low salary to get the average. So many people in this country that are shepherding the flock of God and pastoring do far less than that. Can you imagine that, of all things? I mean, most of us make more than that in an hour in this area. $14 a day? Why, how can a person live on such? They don't very well. To be honest with you, they don't very well. Most of them are struggling. Most of them are trying. But why is it that they have chosen this occupation? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, 26th verse, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He chose the occupation in which he was to go. God called him, and he chose to go in that direction, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, he had respect to the treasures of Christ. He weighed it out in a balance, and he said, I can have Egypt here, or I can have the treasures of Christ. And he chose the riches and the treasures of Christ above all the riches in Egypt. Hey, if you compare the two, it doesn't even hold a candle. Amen. The wealth is in the weight. Amen. What are you talking about, Brother Lawson? The wealth is in the weight. Psalms chapter 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. I will strengthen thy heart. I say unto thee, wait. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Amen. That word wait is not necessarily talking about time frame. And we have always associated that word wait with time frames. I mean, we live in a world where we've got a drive-up windows at the McDonald's, so we don't have to wait. We have banking systems where you can pull up with your car and slip the money into the window, and they'll write you out a deposit slip because we don't like to wait. We've got microwave ovens that we'll just throw a bag of popcorn in and put it on a couple of minutes, and because we don't like to wait, we have conditioned ourselves to being in a condition where we don't like to wait on anything. I mean, ATM machines are everywhere. I remember the first time I saw one, I thought, wow, how does this... I mean, you put your card in there and they get money out here, punch in your ID, and it's incredible because we don't like to wait. And we associate that with just the time element. But the Bible tells us this, and if we'll research that word wait, it means to be braided together with. Now, we're talking about a whole different setup here. I mean, we don't have the treasures of Egypt, and we don't desire those things, but I desire to be braided together with the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is they talking about? It's talking about being braided together with the Lord. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you're waiting on, but during your wait of time, and during this season, from the promise to the fulfillment, if you'll find yourself braided together with God, and learn the wealth and the value of a relationship with God, hey, you'll find yourself in the better position when it comes to pass. Hey, there's more important things to do, folks. Amen. Than to plunge headlong into debt. There's more important things to do than to work those extra hours down at the shop or down at the mill. Amen. So we can put a little bit more money aside. Hey, we gotta wait on God. Be braided together with Him. That's what it's talking about. To become one with the Lord. It's just like taking a rope and taking the two strands of a rope and twisting it and forming it in such a way that two strands becomes one. That's what it's referring to. Waiting on God. Now the writer says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable into His death. Amen. If we're not willing to suffer with Him, I doubt very strongly that we really know Him. Because it's only during those times of suffering that we become closer to Him and He becomes closer to us. And it's only during those times when you're waiting on His answer and you're saying, God, I'm seeking Your face because I want to know You better. And He comes to you in those special times and speaks to you. Amen. And I realize this tonight. I realize that most people are going to walk out of here and scratch their head and say, what in the world what was preached at the prayer service? I don't know. He preached something, you know. But there's going to be a few people that's going to understand what I'm talking about waiting on God, being braided together with Him. The wealth really is in the wait, folks. Amen. He's caused you to come to this place of limbo, if you will. He's caused you to come to this place of stagnation, if you will. Amen. He's caused you to come to this place of waiting in a time sense so that you can be braided together with Him. You say, pray for me. I've got this sickness in my body. Pray for me. I need this job. Things aren't going good financially for us. Pray for me about this or that. What the Lord has really brought us to is a point of waiting and being braided together with Him. I have found Him to be such a wonderful friend during the time of my wait. I mean, He has come to me in such a personal way. I could not explain to you what His voice sounds like, but I know it when I hear it because I have learned to be braided together with Him. I have learned that when things are not so good and not running so smoothly, to find myself a place of prayer in the morning and know Him in a little better way. I've been braided together with Him. Amen. And He has been braided together with me. I was back in 95, it seemed like we was going through a lot of things, and you all may have been going through a lot of things. But it was during that time, and Brother Collins was in Israel, I believe, and Brother Crawford was looking over the church, and he come to have dinner with us. And my heart was so heavy about some things that was going on in my life. And I couldn't understand and I couldn't trace the hand of God in my life. I couldn't hear Him speak anymore, Brother Jamie. I mean, for such a long time, God was speaking to me daily and He was giving me messages daily. And I had it for the church. But for about a 5-month period, I couldn't hear from Him. He wasn't speaking to me anymore. And there at that table, I said, Brother Crawford, I just haven't heard from God in so long. He seems like He's so far away. And I don't know what to do. And he began to cry. And he said, Oh, Brother Jim. God loves you, Brother Jim. He's with you. Amen. And He's going to bring you out of this. You've not sinned, Brother Lawson. No. God has allowed you to go through this trial. And when you go through it, you're going to come out. And you're going to see Him up on the mountaintop. And He's going to say, Come on up, Brother Jim. And be with me. He didn't know what he was saying at that time. But what he was telling me was to wait on God for the answer. Be braided together with Him. I don't mean just sit here on a pew and twiddle your thumbs until somebody gives you something to do. I mean find Him as a friend. Find that during that time of valley that He wants to be the friend in your valley. Find that during that time of sickness that He wants to comfort you and show you His might through your sickness. Don't just wait for the answer to come in some distant times, but be braided together with Jesus. Be braided together with Him. I found Him to be so sweet. I mean, there's been times that He has been such a provider. And I know that He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And there's been times I wished I just had a pork chop or just a side of one of those cattle. But God has come to me in the very nick of time. And it's just like He smiled when He did it. And we become so close by the wealth of the weight. You see, most people never understand the Lord because they've never walked through the valley with Him. And they think that their Lord is only there to give them goodies when they need it. And they never really do know Him as a person. He's not just a theory. And He's not just written on the pages of the Holy Word. He is a person that will walk through that valley with you and speak to you in the strangest places if you'll hear His voice and learn to be braided together with Him. Amen. I was working at John. I was actually a brother at Brother Benny's church was giving me some work. I was needing some work, and he gave me some work to trim with him. And for the longest time, I was just trying to seek God and find a direction, trying to find the path to go in. And I knew He spoke to my heart back then, but I needed some more direction, and I couldn't hear His voice. And it was right after that time that Brother Crawford spoke to me, and I couldn't hear His voice, but I kept on doing what I know to do. And I was on a job. Brother Rick sent me to a job, and I finished up doing the trim work and hanging some cabinets, and I was out by myself. All by myself. All the other contractors was gone. And I was there, and I was loading up for the end of the day. And I hadn't heard the voice of God in so long. I lost track of time. And just as I reached, I got this big old black and red toolbox. I can throw just about anything in. It gets pretty heavy sometimes. But I reached, I had the door of my van slid open. And I reached for that box. And just as I threw it up into the van, the Lord said, It's almost over, Jim. Thank God. I'm talking about the wealth and the weight. I'm talking about finding some treasures. I'm talking about being braided together with God to where you can hear His voice and you know that it's Him and you know that He's with you. And the wealth is in the weight, folks. The wealth is in the weight. Thank God. The wealth of provision. The wealth of posterity. Thank God. You wonder during your decision making, Moses made the decisions to refuse all the wealth of Egypt, and I'm sure this had some effect on himself and on his family. And you don't understand unless you're there what recourse and what effect the decisions that you have, especially if you're a preacher, will have on your family. You don't know. And I was driving down the road one day and began to pray and to seek God. And I was finishing up on a job I had to get done with because it went way too long and I needed to get done. And I began to pray and I said, God, I need to hear from You. And I'm not rushing You and I'm not telling You what to do and when to do it. I would be a fool to do that. But I need to hear from You in a special way. If you could just instruct me and show me and tell me what to do. I don't regret all of the decisions that I've made up to this point. I don't regret. But Lord, I'm getting tired of seeing the stress on my wife and on my child. I'm getting tired of seeing the effects of certain decisions that I made. And I want to know that You're with me. And as I drove, the Lord just spoke to me again. Just like He spoke to me that day on that construction site. And He spoke to me these words. I'll make it up to you. And his voice was rich and sweet. You say, Brother Lawson, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about. You will if you'll get into the weight with God. You'll understand exactly what I'm talking about if you'll find yourself braided together with Him. My little girl came out in the shop the other day, and I didn't know she was there, actually. She'd been out playing with Chester, and I was working, doing something in the shop, and wondering about things and about the direction I'm to go and what decisions I can make. And especially after talking to Mr. Christie, it didn't, I was still weighing on me a little bit. And I was trying to wonder about what to do and the best decisions to make. And I turned around and almost bumped into her. And I seen her just staring up at me. And her eyes were all puddled full of tears. And I said, "What's the matter, baby? You know something wrong? Are you hurting?" She said, "No. Eyes just puddled full of tears." And I said, "Well, what's wrong?" She said, "Oh, Daddy, I was just praying." And I said, "Well, what are you praying about, baby? I'll help you pray. And we'll pray together about it." She said, "No, Daddy, I was just praying myself." I said, "Well, no, tell me what you was praying about. I want to help you pray." She says, "Daddy, I was just saying, Lord Jesus, you can do anything. Hey, you've got a good portfolio there, and you've got all of these investments that you've made through the years, and it sure does look good on your account. I mean, you've got your IRAs in order, you got your CDs, all your stocks are in order. Hey, that's a neat portfolio, sir. But I want to tell you about a wealth that you know nothing about. I'm telling you about a wealth that can be found in the eyes of a little child that knows and senses the very presence of God. Hey, I say the wealth is in the wait. Keep on waiting on God. Hey, if you're sick, if you're waiting on God for some answer, the wealth is in the wait. The wealth is in the wait tonight. And don't get so discouraged and distracted that you become bitter and waiting on God for the answer. Find yourself braided together with Him. What was it He told you, Brother Kevin, in that truck? And you was driving along and missed your prayer time that day. And God spoke to you. And He said, "I missed you." How was that? "I missed you today." That's the wealth of the weight I'm talking about. When you can recognize the presence of God. Amen. You don't get so upset anymore when God's presence comes in the truck with you and comforts you. And he didn't rebuke you, and He didn't kick you out of the truck or cause you to run into somebody. He just said, "I missed you, Kevin." Thank God. The wealth is in the weight. The wealth is in the weight. A lot of times we may sacrifice some things. And these preachers and these pastors and these evangelists, they may not look so spit polished when they come in our doors and bring us a message. But they've got a wealth that they've been waiting on God and being braided together with Him. They have found His presence rich and sweet. Amen. The wealth is in the wait tonight. Amen. Last year, we had made our trip out west and was looking into some areas, but before that I told you that I got a call from home, and I think about this all the time. I think about it all the time. I got a call before we left. We had the van loaded, ready to go, ready to pull out, facing the driveway. Amen. Finally, we was able to break away from every obligation and be able to go and to see this thing that the Lord was speaking to our heart about. And just as we were about to go, the phone rang, and my mother told me about my sister-in-law being in the hospital, having some type of a heart failure. She was only 44 or 45 years old, having heart failure. And I called the hospital and asked them about it, and they said, "She's in a coma." I said, "Well, look, we've been planning this trip for years, and we're finally able to go, and just how bad is she?" And they said, "If you want to see your sister-in-law, you better come now." And we left what we were planning to do and went down there, got into the hospital room and watched my brother and my niece and saw that pitiful form of a human being laying there twisted up in a coma, staring off into space. And I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. I mean, what could you do to somebody that's in a coma on life support, and the machine's doing everything for her? And I said, "Lord, what in the world am I doing here?" I asked the nurse, I said, "Is she responding to anything?" She said, "Nothing. She's not responding to anything." And I began to say, "God, what am I going to do? I'm trying to comfort him, and there's got to be something I can do." And I remembered that verse, Brother Collins, that said, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord." Well, I couldn't judge whether she could respond to pain, or I couldn't judge whether she could respond to medication, but I knew deep down inside that she could respond to the Word of God. And there we began to pray. I prayed and said, Joni, God loves you and He wants you back. You've backslidden from Him and you've walked away, but God wants you back. He loves you and He's willing to take you back, and I'm going to pray and I want you to pray with me. And I prayed, and something happened. When I opened my eyes, I saw tears running down her face. She was still in a coma. She was still somewhere else, but somehow the Word of God penetrated her heart. I'm talking that there is wealth in the wait. While you're waiting on God, look for the wealth that He gives you. Find His presence real and sweet. Together, the Lord made me know that me and Him robbed hell of another soul. I mean, can you imagine what had just taken place in the eternities? I mean, Satan was just right there ready to take another one. I mean, he was ready to sink his talons right into her and pull her into eternity. But God said, go see her. And I went and saw her and talked to her. And together the Lord and I robbed hell of another soul. You talk about wealth. Hey, you talk about wealth. You talk about all of your money. You talk about all your investments and all the things that you've got laid up. It doesn't compare to the wealth that's in the wait. Amen. And one more. The wealth of His coming. We've heard that He's coming for years. And we've almost come callous to the very words that the Lord really is coming. I mean, He really is coming. And for those of us that have not been braided together with Him, it bounces off our ears. And we're waiting for somebody to strike up another song so we can feel good and shout again. And we hear about His coming, and we look at the signs of the time around us, how that men are becoming lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, how they're piling up so much that the store and lock business is one of the best businesses in the country, because people have so many things piled up, so many treasures piled up upon this earth that they can't take care of it all. They've got to store it somewhere. And we see that going on, and if we're not too careful, we become a victim to it ourselves, and we hear that the Lord is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Are you waiting on Him? Are you being braided together with Him during this time of the wait? Amen. But the Bible said that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and all of the works therein shall be burned up. All of the treasures and all of the things that this world has accumulated, it doesn't matter how big a house Bill Gates builds, it's going to burn up with a fervent heat. It doesn't matter how he comes out in this lawsuit, he may come out a winner, but it's all going to be burned up one day. But it's only those that wait upon the Lord that are braided together with Him that find His presence sweet in a time of need. Hey, how long has it been since you've heard His voice? I wished I could describe to you what it sounds like. I mean, He has come to me in such an hour that I recognize it and I know it's Him. You ever call somebody and you don't even have to say, this is Gary Grubb calling to see how you're doing. They say, Gary, I recognize your voice. Why is it? Because Gary usually has talked to them on a somewhat continual basis, and they recognize his voice. I'm telling you tonight, if we'll wait on God and be braided together with Him, become one with Him, we'll hear His voice. You'll hear His voice again, and nothing else can distract you from that if you'll wait upon the Lord. How long has it been since you've heard His voice? What brings you to church anyway? I mean, what brings you here? Well, I've been coming for so long, if I didn't come, people would think I'm backslid. Should we tell them? Should we break the news to them? If that's the reason you're here? I found a couple of nights ago in service, when was it, Wednesday night? The presence of the Lord was just so real to me sitting right here. Some of you were like this, and I'm not belittling you, because I found myself doing it too. But you're like this. And you know when you're preaching, you see folks and you look at them, and you can tell whether they're with you or not, because, I mean, you can just about tell that one's on the job, or that one's mowing grass, or that one's doing this or that. And I found myself doing that too at times. But I found the Lord's presence so rich and so sweet the other night. I looked around, and there were so many of you sat looking somewhere else. And I thought, I wonder what they're doing. But it doesn't matter, Lord. I just want to thank you for being my friend. And the Lord came to me and was so rich and so sweet. You know, God can come to you even in a church service like this. In a warm-up service, if you will, the presence of God can be sweet to you. But He'll only be sweet to you if you've already known Him, if you've already been braided together with Him. What causes folks to face surgery, to face that word, cancer, with peace. Because they know they have already been weighted with the Lord. They've been braided together with Him. And they've got an assurance that no matter where they go, through the lowest valley, that Jesus will be there with them. Because they have already been waiting on Him. Church, if we do nothing else in this service tonight, if somebody doesn't have the song that just suits our taste, or suits our style, or suits our preference, hey, if you'll learn to wait on God, even in a Pentecostal service like this tonight, you'll find His presence real and sweet in your life. It's not usually in the service where I find Him to be so sweet and so real. It's really not. I mean, I thank God for the times that I found His presence so real around these altars. And one time Joey Hyatt prayed with me, and nobody knew what was going on in my life, but he began to interpret the things that the Holy Ghost was speaking. And that's a wonderful thing. But do you know when the most precious times that I've had? Been out in a little shop, driving in a little van, working in the yard, and the presence of God has been there with me. It's those that wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength if you wait on Him and know Him. And know Him. Why are you here tonight? You could be singing somewhere else. You could be playing somewhere else. You could be courting somewhere else. Some of you might ought to be courting somewhere else. But if you wait on God and court Him tonight, find Him to be the lover that you've always dreamed of. You'll renew your strength. Amen. Let's come and pray tonight. Thank God. Find a place to pray. Be braided with Him. Be braided with Him. Thank God.